Amen. Tonight in chapter 5 of Hebrews, we continue to look at the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ as God compares His priesthood to the Old Testament priesthood and then reveals to us that, of course, Christ is the better priest and brought in a better covenant, which we'll see later on in Hebrews as well. Beginning in chapter 5, verse 1, but the Bible says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." So tonight we talk about Jesus being the author of eternal salvation. Let's pray. Give us your wisdom, Lord. Use your word in our lives tonight as we study it together. We thank you that we could meet here and give you this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we can see the Lord here comparing Jesus' priesthood to the Old Testament priesthood. We see there in verse 1, as it says, that the Old Testament saints were ordained and they mediated for sin. They couldn't forgive sin, but they mediated for sin. If we look at Hebrews 10, the Bible makes it clear that they couldn't take away sin. They were only mediating on the behalf of God. But the sins were never taken away because that took the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice Hebrews 10:11. The Bible says here, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering ofttimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." So there it is. Those sacrifices were not meant to take away sin. They were meant to teach us that it took blood to mediate for sin. And that one day, of course, perfect blood would be shed. And then that those sacrifices would no longer be needed. And so we see that these Old Testament saints were ordained and mediated for sin. But as he reminds us there in verse 2, they were sinners, just like us. It says there that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Talking about the Old Testament priests, though they did enter the Holy of Holies once a year, and offer sacrifices, and though they offered sacrifices every day throughout the year there at the labor, at the entering of the tabernacle, they were sinners as well. And so they didn't have the power to forgive sin because they were sinners. They had, as it says in verse 3, they had to, by reason hereof, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. So when they went in to offer, they weren't only offering for the people, but for themselves, because they were sinners, like we all are. And they had to be, as we see there in verse 4, a descendant of Aaron. That was God's rule for the Old Testament saints. So they were ordained and mediated for sin. They were men. They were sinners. They had to be descendants of Aaron. If you go to Exodus 28, we'll just get a little bit of light on this. That they were chosen by the Lord. But interestingly enough, again, God picturing Jesus, they were chosen based on blood. Were they not? They had to be a descendant of Aaron. And Jesus Christ was chosen based on blood. And we are chosen based on blood. The blood of Jesus. But they were chosen, notice Exodus 28, verse 1, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And later on in the law, God made it very clear that only those who were direct descendants of Aaron could be in the high priesthood. But the Lord Jesus Christ is from a different priesthood, which we're not going to study that tonight. We're going to study that when we get to chapter 7. But that is what God calls the Melchizedek priesthood. Totally different from the Aaronic priesthood. And Melchizedek only shows up one time in the Old Testament. When Abraham came back from rescuing Lot and offered a tithe to this person that shows up named Melchizedek, and as we'll see in chapter 7, it had to be Jesus Christ appearing in the Old Testament as a man. Because as we'll see, he had no beginning. Well, who else would that be? So anyway, we'll talk about that when we get to chapter 7. But we see here that Jesus Christ is the new high priest. Verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And we talked a lot about Christ's high priesthood in chapter 3. We'll talk about more of it when we get further into Hebrews. But Jesus Christ, as we know, went into the place there to pray, into the garden, which we actually sang about tonight, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That was the human side of Jesus Christ, knowing exactly what was coming because he was also God. He knew the suffering that he was about to face, which was, according to Scripture, some of the worst suffering any human's ever faced. The humiliation, the beatings, the beard being ripped out, the crown of thorns, the being whipped with a cat of nine tails, which they called scourging, and on we could go. Christ, because time means nothing to God, Christ already knew everything he was going to face, and as God, that was no problem, but as a man, he knew what he was about to suffer. Imagine knowing in advance what you were about to suffer, how much harder that makes it. And as he prayed, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. He submitted to the will of God the Father and said, I will go through it because I love man. And it was only the love of us that drove him to go through that, because at any time he could have stopped. And that's what it means when it says there, verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. As a man, he learned, I'm going to do the right thing, even though I don't want to do the right thing. Kind of like us. I'm going to do the right thing, even though my flesh doesn't want to do the right thing. Anybody ever face that? Every day. Our flesh wants to do wrong. Our spirit wants to do right. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 7 in his own personal battle between his flesh and his spirit. Jesus Christ got to experience that aspect of being a human as well. That in his flesh, he did not want to have to suffer all the things he was about to suffer. But as God, he knew that he had to for us. And that's what it means when it says he learned obedience. He learned as a man that we need to just do the right thing, even if it's going to hurt. So look at Philippians 2. We'll see more on this. Jesus Christ humbling himself and learning part of being a servant of God is learning to humble ourselves and do the right thing, even if it's going to cause pain. Notice Philippians 2:8. It says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Obedient unto death. And so what God is doing here, and he's going to do it more in Hebrews, is comparing the two priesthoods. The Old Testament Aaronic priesthood, as we'll see, God later calls Jesus' a better priesthood, a better covenant. Why? Because the Old Testament priesthood was being performed by sinners who were sacrificing animal blood. Jesus Christ is not a sinner. He's perfect, and he offered perfect human blood as a substitute for our sins, or payment for our sins. And he, in the process of all of that, as we see here, he was willing to go through the suffering on our behalf and learned what it means to be a servant of God even when it's going to hurt. And we need to learn the same. But verse 9 is kind of the key verse where the Bible says, being made perfect. So what God is saying here, Jesus was already perfect because he's God, but it's saying that he was perfected as a man when he decided that he was willing to go through whatever he had to go through on our behalf, even though his flesh didn't want to. And that's part of the perfection process that we all go through as Christians. When we do the right thing, even though we don't want to do the right thing, we grow. We become more of what God wants us to be. As a matter of fact, if you go to 1 Peter 5:10, the Bible even talks about this word perfect, or perfecting, the process that we go through. And God connects perfecting with suffering for us, just like he did here with Jesus. Notice 1 Peter 5:10. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. That's beautiful, isn't it? The God of all grace has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. But look at this next phrase. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. So God has work to do in our lives. He wants to perfect us. As it says, he wants to establish us. He wants to strengthen us. But a lot of that perfecting and strengthening requires pressure and fire in the form of suffering. And so what God is telling us is Jesus learned that in the garden. And then as he went through all that he went through, he learned this obedience and went through this, from a human point of view, this perfecting process of the suffering. And the Bible says that as the perfect priest, he became the author of eternal salvation. Remember, the Old Testament priest couldn't offer eternal forgiveness, as we already read. But Jesus Christ offers us not only forgiveness, but eternal forgiveness. Praise God. Eternal salvation. Look at chapter 10 of Hebrews. Actually, chapter 9, verse 12. We'll look at a couple of Hebrews verses that talks about our salvation being eternal. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So there God refers to it as eternal redemption. And did you see how he bought it? By entering into the holy place with his blood. Now this isn't talking about the one on earth. This is talking about the one in heaven. The Holy of Holies in heaven. The one on earth was just to be a picture of what's in heaven. And so as we see here in Hebrews 9:12, Jesus entered into the holy place with his own blood to obtain eternal redemption. Look down to verse 15 of chapter 9. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So eternal redemption and eternal inheritance. Jesus became the author of eternal salvation. Which is why when we get saved, as we know, the scriptures say that we receive eternal life. Eternal life, eternal salvation, they're the same thing. And we'll look at two scriptures on that. John chapter 5 will be one of them. We know these verses anyway, but it's good just to look at them and be reminded that our salvation, our life is eternal. Notice John 5:24. God says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I love that verse because it says that our eternal or our everlasting life is a present possession. It doesn't say we will have it. It says we have it now. Isn't that good? So we already possess everlasting life. That's why we can't lose our salvation, or it wasn't very everlasting. And then over in chapter 10, verse 28, we'll see it again where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. Jesus says, John 10, 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We can never perish. That verse we saw in John 5 says we can never be condemned. Why? Because we have obtained eternal salvation through the blood of the perfect high priest who took his blood into the Holy of Holies and offered it as a sacrifice for our sins. The Father accepted it, and now we receive eternal salvation when we trust Jesus Christ, eternal life, eternal redemption, and eternal inheritance. We could go on all night. All of this we receive because Christ was willing, as a man, to suffer for us as our high priest. The Old Testament priests, they didn't have to suffer. It was the animals that suffered. And they handled blood almost every day, the Old Testament priests, but it wasn't their own blood. It was the blood of innocent animals. Every day. Imagine. People from the whole region would come and bring their animals every day to make sacrifice for sins. Imagine that. That's your living, is every day you're killing animals all day. That's what they did. Sheep and cows and turtle doves all day. Then they'd have to wring the necks of the turtle doves. They'd have to cut them up just right. There would be blood everywhere. It was so much blood, they had this big brazen laver out there at the entrance of the tabernacle. And that's what they did, is just kill animals. Imagine what that must have been like. No more. Amen? Because now the perfect man offered his own blood. After all the suffering that he went through on our behalf, he wasn't a sinner. So when he entered the Holy of Holies and said, here's my blood, he didn't have to do it for his sins because he didn't have any. He did it for our sins and obtained for us eternal salvation. Now we'll learn more about his high priesthood as we get further into Hebrews, but this is just kind of an introduction to the high priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. How it's a better, as we saw there in that verse we referenced in Hebrews, it talked about the mediator of a New Testament, which means there's an Old Testament. Now there's a New Testament, and it took the death of a testator for it to become in effect, right? Which is exactly what happened. Jesus died to make the New Testament in effect. He obtained eternal salvation as our high priest. Praise God. Let's pray.